Hey everyone, welcome back to the Intelligent Conversations podcast. Today I have the honor to learn from Kathy Nesbitt. Kathy is a worm advocate and founder of Kathy's Crawly Composters. She believes worms play a critical role in waste management. So Kathy also engages in laughter yoga, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about that today. I'm excited. So Kathy, thank you for coming on today. I am looking forward to learning from you. But I like to start with this question. Worms, what got you into that? I think that's just such a unique pathway. What got you into worms?
I'll squirm my way right into the conversation.
Awesome.
So, oh my gosh, right? It's like, are you born wanting to be a worm advocate? No, there was nobody that So I'm located in Canada, north of Toronto. And in 2002, the landfill for the Greater Toronto Area closed. And although Canada's very, right? Problem. Yeah. Uh-oh, now what? And although it's a, you know, Canada's pretty large country, we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. And we started to export our garbage to the U.S., to Michigan. 200 trucks a day, Monday to Friday. So 1,000 trucks a week. Can you imagine?
That's a lot of garbage. Pew.
So, how do you become an entrepreneur? You see a problem and then you have a solution. Business. You marry the two, boom. So I was an employee before that. I worked as a secretary, office worker for 20 years. And I thought that was my lot in life. I loved it. I was great at it. You know, I did my people pleasing part. Like, can you get me a coffee? Sure. I know that doesn't happen anymore, probably.
That's the intern's job.
Get your own dang coffee. I didn't say that. I got the coffee. I learned a lot, actually. Okay. So then, so the landfill closed. All these things happened. And I think it's a fascinating path. I love starting with that question. I'll get to it. So the landfill closed and I would add a do. And all the while, I'm an avid gardener composter. I had left secretarial, got my psych degree in 2000. And I was working at a group home with challenged adults. And anyway, so the whole path to introduce me to the worms, that's kind of another whole story, but how I got into the worm business was the landfill closed and we couldn't find a place. Yeah. And so I was like, I have a solution. Six million people in the Greater Toronto area, half living in condos, townhouses without space to do outdoor composting. So what I'm proposing is indoor composting with worms. Worms in the house, Josh. Who doesn't want that?
that's interesting. So tell me like kind of how that works. So I mean, I know there's composting. I've seen like ads about that. And it's pretty much you put your garbage in a place like in your garden or something like that. And then you let it just kind of sit there and decompose. So are worms like necessary for that? I mean, I am not a worm expert. I'm just asking what role do worms play in decomposing trash?
I love it. Let's go back to what is composting. So composting is nature's way to look after our organic matter. So yes, usually done outside, just a pile, or maybe you have a composter. You put your food scraps and your paper and your, or outside you would put your yard waste, leaves, grass, you know, all your clippings. Mm-hmm. Mix it up, add water. After a certain amount of time, it turns into compost or humus. And you just, like fertilizer, you just put that then back on your ground. Simple concept, right? So everything kind of rots and goes back and renews, becomes food for something else. So the idea of the worms, because this is in the house, regular composting wouldn't work in the house. That would it would be too messy, too slow. It just wouldn't work because you need the heat. And anyway, so this is indoor composting with the worms. And what the worms do is they eat half their weight per day in food scraps. So same concept, your food scraps, your paper, carbon, nitrogen. And in the house, it would be your shredded paper would be the carbon. So another way to get rid of some of your paper waste, like your confidential documents, feed them to the worms. No one's taking your identity. Okay, another side business. right? So then you have your paper. It's in, let's say, a Rubbermaid container. You've got your shredded paper, and then the worms are in there. And then when you're feeding your food scraps, you bury it in the bedding. So you've got, imagine a bin with paper, food scraps, and the worms are in there. And then they're eating half their weight. It's aerobic process, meaning with oxygen, so it doesn't smell like rotting food.
That's interesting. So there's like no smell at all, really?
Not no smell, but it's an earthy smell, like maybe like the forest floor. It maybe smells like, if, and that's only when you open it. I mean, it's, you know, it's got a lid on it and...
Oh, gotcha.
Right? And it's, so it's really like worms are the original alchemist, Josh. Because they take garbage, right, food scraps and paper, and turn it into black gold, which is food, plant food. They turn it into this fertilizer, so we don't need all these chemicals. Like, the worms are playing a critical role, which is why I need the laughter, because I have this heavy mission of educating people. It's the 20th anniversary of my worm business. Like, can you imagine selling worms by the pound? Thank you. Yup. And it's a ridiculous business model because I don't have repeat customers. I have a few, but not like, you know, the 80-20 rule, if you know anything about business, you know, like 20% of your customers, 80% of your revenue. Not so much if you're selling worms because they breed more than rabbits.
I bet.
Huh. Oops, that's bad. Right. But you know, I think when you're really on purpose and mission, like you have this, I have this incredible vision about how this can play out. So my role here is to be the advocate, is to be the talking worm. I'm the head worm. That's what I feel like. I feel like my role is here to let people know. So I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on your podcast.
Well, I'm happy to have you on, Kathy. So I want to ask this, what is this vision? What do you kind of see yourself, or is that your vision that you just kind of described there?
Yeah, worms in every living space. Imagine worms in every house, every apartment, every classroom, not just every school, like one bin as a project. No, these are working animals, and they're creating this beautiful black gold, so then we can grow more food, more nutrient-rich food, right? Mm-hmm. We're food insecure. Like in Canada, we import 60% of our food.
It's a dangerous thing.
It's right. So it seems fine because we have this global society, right? Until 2020. Whoops. Everything shut. Who knew? Who saw that coming, right? We didn't know. It seems like we were like skipping along, having our life. Isn't life grand? Yeah, until it isn't. Right. So when our border closes, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. We become food insecure. We import about 60% of our food. I said that. Yeah. So when our border closes, we become food insecure pretty quick.
That's a dangerous game. So worms kind of provide kind of that basic, the soil you need to grow food. So this is a question that kind of came to my mind. So people are doing it themselves. And in this vision, do you kind of see that? So like in public places, do you see them like kind of taking it and using it on farmland, things like that? Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So say an apartment building looked after the food scraps for all the units. And so they have a central composting center. Mm-hmm. So they're managing the stuff there. The compost could then be used on the lands. So for landscaping right there again, or they could use it, give it to the condo dwellers or apartment dwellers for their houseplants. Like there's, right? It's so beautiful. The worms are reducing the pile by about 80%. So it's not like you have the same, what goes in comes out. It's way smaller. So, and it doesn't smell. There's so many applications, you know, we're talking about indoor composting in the house. Everyone has worms. That's why it's a ridiculous business model, because I'm looking after the individual rather than doing it big, massive, mm-hmm. right? But it's okay. I'm playing my part. I'm the little cog here doing this little part, right? But it's a big part.
That is cool. I like that. I think...
Thank you.
Because, I mean, you hear that in the news quite often, right? Like, hey, garbage is everywhere. It kind of reminds me of the movie WALL-E, actually. Like, everyone talks about those futures where, oh, we're going to have technology where you can travel in space. I'm like... Sure, we might, but I think the most realistic future for humanity is WALL-E. Like, we're all sitting there just kind of throwing our trash all over the place. And it's kind of sad. It's like, man, why would we do that? And I think with worms, that's a potential solution too. So I guess another thing that kind of comes up, what about things that can't be decomposed by worms? What do you kind of do with that waste?
So then that would go in the garbage, but it's going to be way smaller and it's not going to smell, because if it doesn't decompose, it's not going to have that methane odor, right? The gas.
Gotcha.
Right? Like once we remove the food and the organic matter from the garbage, the garbage doesn't smell anymore.
Huh. Yeah, that makes complete sense right there. So now you have areas where you can, it doesn't smell, so you can have people living right next to a landfill, I guess, and it's no problem. So it's interesting. So how do you get worms to people? Because I mean, and how do you store them? Because don't they need dirt to survive? Do you kind of store them in little containers? Because I've been fishing and I'll admit I've used worms when I've gone fishing. And they come in these little containers. Do you kind of like ship them out like that? Is that kind of what you do?
Yeah, so generally when worms are shipped, they're shipped either in peat moss or coconut coir, which is the outside husk of the coconut, a replacement for peat moss, wrapped in newspaper or in paper bags sometimes. And then they're in a box and shipped. They come by pure, like by courier or in the mail.
That's cool. So, and they can order like online and stuff.
Absolutely. So I'm in Canada. I don't ship worms out of Canada, but there's lots of suppliers in the US, especially the warmer states, Florida, California, Texas, Georgia.
So I want to ask this, is there a worm like conference, worm convention type thing where a bunch of the worm like suppliers get together and kind of talk about this? Have you been to them? I'm kind of curious what that's like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've spoken a couple of times at the conference. It's in North Carolina. Rhonda Sherman is the arranger, I think. Oh my gosh, I don't know how many years. Yeah, at least 20 years, I think. Yeah, and it's amazing. The global leaders, this is how the industry is growing, Josh. At the beginning, the first time I went to the worm conference, I don't remember what year it was, but there was 30 people at the conference. That's it, 30 people.
That's crazy.
From around the world.
That's very small.
The world expert in one room. Well, pretty cool. But there was big stuff going on with these little creatures. I mean, every country in the world, just about except Antarctica, has worms and does some kind of vermiculture. Cuba was the leader at one point, because when the Soviet pulled out and Cuba fell apart, they brought all the organic, you know, all the retired farmers out of retirement to learn all about organic growing. And so they incorporated the vermicomposting. Yeah.
Interesting. That is, so do worms do better than in warmer climates instead of cold? Cause I mean, you mentioned Antarctica. I mean, I don't know any animals really besides penguins and seals and whales that really can live there, but do worms like prefer certain climates compared to others?
Absolutely. They're living creatures, so they do require a certain temperature, and they do better too warm than too cold. That's what I say in the house. When you're doing it in the house, there's three key elements: temperature, moisture, and airflow. So temperature is like 60 to 80 Fahrenheit.
So I'm kind of curious, because there's actually worms out here where I am in Utah, and you see them right in the summer, right? And all that. But in the winter, right, you don't see any worms, right? If you do see them, it's a dead worm type of thing. And I kind of want to ask this, how do they survive then winters?
Yeah, so let me just clarify about the worm. There's thousands of types of worms. The worm, only four have been identified as optimum for vermicomposting. And we're looking for surface dwellers. So red wigglers, European nightcrawlers, African nightcrawlers, and Peryonyx are the four right now. There's probably others. The one that you see outside probably isn't the composting worm. They're the bait worms.
So there's certain types of worms that decompose, like, and are good for the composting then?
Yeah. So the red wigglers, say, which are the optimum composting worms, are surface dwellers. So that's why you can keep them in a container. They like the warm. I say they're spoiled indoor worms. They like the warmer temperature. The outdoor worms prefer cool temperatures. And they live below the frost line. In the winter, they'll go below the frost line, which is why they can keep going. And they deposit as soon as they sense the temperature change, they breed more than usual and deposit their little eggs throughout. So they have an external eggs. This is really cool. Science, like worm 101. So worms are hermaphrodites, meaning male and female. Super cool. Like, I think that's a cool concept. And then, like, they're like perfectly evolved. Once they mate, they both create a cocoon. So they both get pregnant. Up to 20 babies in each egg. 5 or 6 is average. So, I mean, it's phenomenal reproduction because they're pure protein. So lots of, like, maybe people, I don't know, but people don't eat worms on purpose, generally. but lots of critters do. Lots of animals do because they're protein. So birds, you know, rodents, frogs, snakes.
20, that's a lot. So they have no problem. Like, they're not going extinct anytime soon, like some of these other animals that we talk about.
They've been around since the dinosaur.
Wow.
Waiting. I say waiting to serve their purpose, which is to help us with our garbage crisis and our food crisis. You know, I started my business as a waste management tool, but then quickly realized, like, that maybe is the side benefit, as huge as that is, in that they create this black gold, this thing, because our soil is depleted of nutrients, which is why we have to keep applying chemicals, right? Yeah. We keep on trying to grow corn or wheat or soy, like whole states or whole areas, right? Acres and acres. Like, as far as you can see, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like, for animal feed or for plastic bags or whatever we're fuel. Like, it's you know, when we think about it, that's not how nature intended. And because we have made such monocropping, now the bugs that are existing are more insidious. So now we need more insidious chemicals. So the chemicals now, the pesticides and the acides, which means death, are going right in the plant. And so it doesn't wash off, and they're not even designed to wash off, right? Because if it rained, they'd wash off. So they don't. So if we think we can go home and just wash our apple under the tap, we're fooling ourselves. We need soap, or we need something to cut the chemical. But now the chemicals are inside. I don't want to freak people out, because worms are a positive solution, right? But when we eat that apple, now we may be eating the chemicals too, which means acide is in us too. It's killing our bugs.
Yeah, that's not good.
We should be alarmed, right? Because we have a sickness epidemic, Josh. I'm not saying anything new. If we look around, look at all the commercials on TV are all about pharmaceuticals, like, and then all the side effects. And when you get the side effects, they can give you something else. You know, not to be skeptical, but we just need to be aware that if we grow it ourselves, which is why, you know, if we have worms, I don't mean in our belly. if we have worms managing our food scraps, then we get some beautiful soil. Then we can grow some food. When we grow food, even if we're in a harsh climate like Canada, we have a short growing season here. You know, we do. But we can still grow something during that time. Even if you have a window, you can grow something in a pot, like a lettuce, or you can grow some herbs, you know, to grow something, because it's so satisfying when you clip that and you eat it. Wow, yum. And you're not wasting it.
And it's almost a self-sustaining process too, because, right, maybe let's say you throw away some scraps on, like, the carrot, for example, right? You grow a carrot. I don't know too many people that are eating the tops of things. Maybe there are. I'm not judging. Go for it. You're awesome. But I preferably am like, nah, not my cup of tea. People just throw those back into the soil, right? The worms decompose that, and then you grow more carrots. It's like a self-sustaining process. Am I kind of hitting it right on the
mark
there?
Absolutely. That's, you made my heart sing. That's exactly it.
Awesome. So I'm going to kind of switch gears here. That's all right with you. So
I'm ready.
You're a very happy character. You laugh a lot. I'm kind of curious. I mentioned at the beginning, laughter yoga. What's that about? How'd you kind of get into that?
Yeah, the path there. Let's squirm on over there now. So 2012, it is the 20th anniversary of worms in 2012. So 10 years into my worm business, I was oblivious, Josh. I had no idea that people didn't want what I had. I knew, because sales weren't so great, right? And it was hard, because there was a lot of resistance. I did know, by the way. I wasn't oblivious, but I wanted to I really believe in humanity. So I was like, everybody needs this. Why aren't they doing it? And I was like, kind of banging my head. Like, so if someone's going to start a business, you know, it's okay. Just stay with it. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're so passionate, right. That's what makes it easy to do. That's what makes it easy to do is that I love it so much. I look at 20 years, I still love it. So 10 years in 2012, one more person said to me, "Ooh, worms in the house." And I was like, I heard it that time. It hit my heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. I had a, like a wake up call. I was like, oh my gosh, why do I care so much? What's happening here? I question everything. Oh my gosh, what is going on? How am I going to do this? How am I going to fulfill my mission if people are still saying, ooh, like we got to stop saying, ooh, so we can hear the message. Ah, and then I was going to doff my mission. And the very next, I was at a business meeting and the woman, the first speaker introduced laughter yoga. 5-minute little intro thing. And I was like, what? I don't even do yoga. So, but I love laughing. So laughter yoga is not doing yoga and laughing. I'll get to that in a sec. that same week at a business meeting, hundreds of people, the very first woman I met was a laughter yoga teacher. And I was like, what? Come on. What is laughter yoga twice in 1 week? Get out of here. So I said, wow. Well, I said, wow, laughter yoga is mainstream. And she said, no, it isn't. Anyway, long story short, I got trained as a leader. I got trained as a teacher. It saved my worm business because when we're laughing, we're full on present. We can't be thinking about all the shenanigans going on in the world, the fear, fear, fear. We're just like, we're right here, right now. Ha, ha, ha. We're just present, right? Living our life like we're supposed to, like today, right now. That's all we have, right? This moment we have together, Josh, that's it. Stop thinking about what you said a minute ago.
I know, right? I oftentimes fall into that trap, right? I start thinking like, oh my gosh, that was stupid. Why'd I say that, right? And then sometimes, most of the time, I like to think of it this way. It's like, at the end of the day, are they going to think about it like 30 minutes, 45 a day? Like, after maybe that minute, they'll be like, oh, that was a little odd. But after that, they're going to forget about it. So why bother beating yourself up over that? Sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
So. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly it. We all do it. You said you do it. Everybody does it. And that's why the laughter is such a beautiful gift because it retrains our mind. It retrains our practice. Instead of going, oh, wham, 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 boom, 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 beating ourselves up, we can just laugh, like point at it. That's one of the activities. So laughter yoga is not about jokes or comedy. It's not doing yoga and laughing. There's gentle movements. It is a cardiovascular workout. So when we're laughing full on in a laughter club, 30 or 60 minutes, and it works beautifully on Zoom because you have gallery view and, you know, you're all looking at each other. It's so fun. It's so fun. And so there's clapping and chanting. So you clap palm to palm because you're activating the meridians. And that helps get people out of their head. Gives them something to do, right? Rather than just saying, hey, laugh, because that's what we really want. If we could just laugh, ha, 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 that's all we need. That's all we need. That's what it's about, because our diaphragm is attached to all of our organs. And so when we're laughing, all of our organs are jiggling around. Oxygen is getting to all of our body. So it's scientifically proven that laughter is the best medicine. It's so cool. It's just we've forgotten. And, you know, everybody I meet, I ask them, have you heard that laughter is the best medicine? Have you, Josh?
I have, actually.
Yeah. So everybody's heard that. I haven't met one person yet that said, oh, no, tell me about that. Laughter is the best medicine. It's not just an expression. It's the truth. We probably knew it at one time. That's why we all say it. And then I say, have you had your daily dose? Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins, the love drugs.
Yep. Laughing is contagious too, right? So when you start laughing, other people tend to follow suit, right? And it's just this domino effect too. And it goes the other way as well, right? If you're negative and you bring that negative energy in, that also has a domino effect and everyone's like, oh, fine, I'll be miserable too. So it's kind of, you're right. Laughter is the best medicine because just it impacts other people and yourself as well. It helps everyone around. Sorry, I kind of cut you off there again, but could you finish kind of your thought?
It's so exciting. We're secreting the love drugs versus cortisol and adrenaline, the stress hormones, right? It's our choice. We're in charge of our own pharma. How cool. And you said it exactly right. I want to pick up on what you said because it does impact other people. It is contagious in a good way, in a positive way, because when we're, it's energy. So you were talking about the negative energy. If you're in a negative way, then, right? It's energy. That's absolutely it. And our brain, I've recently heard or learned that our brain is primed to negative. That's why the news, it's all negative when we're all watching it and we're all like, you know, glued to the news and all the nada. If we can't control it, not that we shouldn't know about it. We need to know kind of what's going on. I don't think we need to know all the deets. Like, stop saying all the graphic stuff because we can't get that out of our head. Once we see those images and hear those things over and over repeated, like how many people, like, I'm sorry about the U.S., but all the you know, the shootings. I don't know. It seems that's what we hear about in Canada. I mean, we have them too. Not that nothing's happening here. We have stuff, all kinds of stuff. It's just when we keep on hearing all the negative and then, you know, war and COVID and flu and vaccines and masks and shutting down and staying isolated, stay away, like stay apart from people. No, we're people. Are you kidding? We have to be, we're social. Mm-hmm. We have a global mental health tsunami, Josh. We have a global crisis. We're all in this together. And that's why laughter, I'm being called right now, even though my mission is worms and I really want people to care about the planet, we cannot care about anything other than ourselves if we're having a mental health crisis. We can't, right? We're just like right here going, and even our body language, we're small, we're closed, we're looking down, you know, we're breathing shallow. Those are all signs of like sadness and depression. And here's a light bulb thing. I hope people hear this when I say this. I don't have a cell phone, not that part. that's the truth. But when we're looking at our cell phones, we're looking down. So we actually have the physiology of depression. We have a candy cane neck. We're looking down. So although we're looking at happy, funny cat videos or whatever looking at that's funny. So we may be laughing. We're sending mixed chemicals to our brain. Can you imagine? We're having a battle in our brain. Wow. I hope that is like, because we spend a lot of time looking down. We got to look up more. We're not getting rid of our technology. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting making sure that your back is straight because it's our health.
I agree. So this kind of reminded me of something funny I would do. So when I was in school, I would tell people just randomly out of the blue, I would just say, look up. And they'd be like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. It was just, I just did it on impulse for no reason. But then as I started wondering, I'm like, why? Why am I like telling people to look up? And I realized I'm like, I want to actually talk with a person, right? Like sometimes they're like looking down, and maybe, right, it's like shame or something like, I don't want to admit this, right? But most of the time, like, dude, just look at me and just let's talk. Like, let's just have a conversation. And, you know, I'm guilty of it too, right? Sometimes I look down and I'm like, oh. But I just found I'm like, you have way more engaging conversations when you actually look up and talk with each other. And that's, I don't know, that's just kind of a funny side note. I would tell people just look up, like, and I would like tap their neck and they would be like, what? Like,
I love that.
What's going on? And then sometimes it kind of eventually became a joke where I would say, look up. And they're like, what's up? And I'm like, the sky. And they would laugh like, what? Like, that's a little odd. And just kind of tweaks their brain a little bit in a way where it's like, what is this guy talking about? And they actually are kind of focused like, hey, let's like try and understand what this guy's saying. And then I can actually get my point and talk about, hey, this is what I want to talk to you with, like about. And that's... yeah, that's just kind of a little funny side note there. But that's interesting. I think laughter, again, best medicine that a lot of people need. And again, it's contagious. And it's kind of taking that focus off yourself and saying, all right, if I laugh, and other people around me laugh as well. It's just better for society. We're going to be happier people. And to your point with the cell phones, how would you say we kind of live with technology but not become kind of what we are today with technology? Because I think it's a great tool. I mean, we're communicating across the like countries right now. I think that's impressive. Like, it's really cool. But how do we kind of use technology in a way that we don't become what we kind of just described?
Yeah, I think boundaries. We need to set boundaries. We kind of like social media, and this whole thing is designed. I mean, if anyone watches
the network?
Social network or social something about how social media is.
Yeah, people should watch that documentary.
Yeah, because, you know, it really is designed to keep your eyeballs on the platforms, right? If it's Twitter or Facebook or TikTok or whichever one people are using, they really are designed to keep us there. And I find myself, so it's not that I'm not on those platforms, I am. But, you know, if I'm on them, I'm at home.
Exactly.
Right? I'm on my desktop or my laptop. I log out each time, but all of a sudden I'll find myself scrolling again. I'm like, how did I get here?
Exactly.
So even without the thing, I can only imagine how I would be. I'm not judging anybody for being on their technology. I know if I had one, I would be on it too. And that's why I don't want to have one. You know, I don't think I need one. Here's why I don't really have a cell phone. It's because I'm a rabid environmentalist, and 20 years trying to tell people to be kinder to the planet, and cell phones are really destructive. And in 2009, I was doing a cable show, just a local cable show. I was an environmental expert. So I would look up stuff every month.
That's cool.
And one month I talked about cell phones. And the statistics in 2009, oh my gosh, these are U.S. stats. In 2009, 549,000 cell phones were discarded daily. So this is way before any smart stuff, like 2012 when all the smart stuff came in. So imagine, like, every year you got to get a new thing because either it's obsolete or whatever, right? So I was like, man, it doesn't need to be five, four, plus one. And now it's part of my brand, and I realize, wow, you know, I'm amazed how many people, when I say I don't have a cell phone, I mean, young people stop breathing first. They're like, and I'm like, breathe, breathe. Oh, it's okay. And they're like, how do you function? And I'm like, I don't understand the question.
Interesting.
Right. I have a landline. I literally have a landline.
That's cool. No, I think that's good. Cause I mean, I think especially, I didn't know there was that many phones discarded, but also, I mean, I kind of look at it and like, I know how much resources are in those products, right, that they build. I'm like, and you're just going to huck them out. Like, there's gold and like a little bit of gold in each. I'm like, that's pretty limited. Like, even for you economists out there, you know how valuable gold is to an economy. Like, you should like do something with this gold that people are thrown out. That's kind of my first thoughts when I heard that was, wow, what a waste of material that we could be using or reusing or melt it down and use it in something else in another way. And
yeah,
I'm sure there's people out there doing stuff, but sorry, go ahead.
No, there are lots of things going on. It's true. That's why it seems kind of overwhelming, you know, because there's so many, like when you say the statistics about things, it's like, wow, it's like, oh, what can I do as an individual? And I think we can all do our part. It got here by all of us doing what we're doing now.
Exactly.
All of us contributing, you know. So I think, and not to judge anyone, you know, not to, oh, you have to change everything. No, just as you're buying something new, make sure that it is environmentally sustainable. Like, who made it? Where did it come from? You know, was it child labor that created that shirt that you're wearing or whatever, you know, like be aware of these things because we don't really want to be sponsoring or supporting. Our dollars are where we can make a difference by buying. Exactly. Like the manufacturers are going to do what we want if we stop supporting their evil ways.
Yeah, I think especially with the dollar, I think that has significant influence. Like sometimes people feel like they're stuck in, oh, we're stuck in this system. I'm like, no, you actually have a lot more. I think the beautiful thing is that there's kind of this checks to things, right? So everyone's like, oh, the investors, they have money. I'm like, no, they keep the CEOs in check. They make sure the CEOs don't go crazy. And then I'm like, and the CEOs make sure that they're producing products. But I'm like, but the people that actually buy them, they keep the CEOs and the investors in check because it's like, hey, people aren't buying this or there's no need for this, right? entrepreneur, right? It's like, there's no need for this. People aren't buying this. Let's go a different route. And that tends to, I'm like, that's the best way to do it. Like, just stop buying. If you don't agree with that, what that company's doing, don't buy from them. And I guarantee if enough people stop buying from them, they'll start looking, taking a step back and saying, hey, how can we improve this process? How can we improve, or why are people not buying our product or something like that? And that's, I think there's like this checks and balances, right? Where we kind of check them and say, and then they provide us with new cool technology that we can use and progress, you know, mankind to a better world. That's just kind of some of my thoughts there. I'd love to hear some of your comments and what you kind of think there.
I agree 100%. Yeah. If we keep on supporting, because it's about the bottom line, it's all only about money for some of these large corporations. So if we consider the triple bottom line, which is people, planet, and profit, so all three, you know, so if we look at our purchases as, you know, is this company doing good for the planet? Do they care about their employees? You know, and then money. Of course, they have to make money. That's why you're in business. But money ought not be the driver, because, you know, I think if it's about your employees being happy, if you look at the companies that do, that have a low turnover rate, see what they're doing. Like, how do they look after their employees? Like, they may be some of the most polluting companies, but they want to keep their people. So they have gyms and they have, you know, little incentives. They have extra holidays. I don't know, all kinds of things to keep their people happy.
No, I think that's right. They'll move their dollars where they need to. So, yeah, I've loved what you've been sharing today, and I hate to wrap this up, but maybe we're gonna look to do this. So I'm gonna bring up the intelligent question of the day, and that is, how do people go out and kind of make that, what small change could they do today where they could impact the world for better? And I mean, we kind of already touched on it a little bit, where they could buy to companies, but maybe what's something, if they want to take that extra step, go that extra mile, what's that extra step they could do?
If people want to live a better life, I would say look up. I would say look up, connect with people. Like, when you're out walking, don't be on your device, you know, don't have your earbuds in. Be looking around, listen to the birds, listen to you know, and talk to some people. I know that's not about the planet, but it is, because if we care about each other, then we're going to care about our home. We only have one planet. And not to be alarmist, it's just like it's on fire, as Greta would say.
It's true.
You know, it is. We really need to take action and care, and it matters. If we keep our positive energy, I would say come to my laughter club. Yes, that's what you should do.
Love to do that.
It's probably too early for you. It's 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Yeah, but it's not, it's on Zoom. So anyone that's listening, really come to my laughter club. I would say we really need to look after ourselves, Josh. It's not selfish. Self-love is not selfish. It's self-care, and it's really important, because we go, we like, oh, I have this deadline. It's like, if you're going to fall asleep at the wheel, like literally, you know, while you're driving, because you're so exhausted from trying to serve, that's not a life. You know, we really have to enjoy the journey. We're really not to be here. I believe that we're not here to slog along and everything be a challenge. Oh, good, I overcame that mountain. No, I think that we're really here to enjoy. We really, our birthright is to live a joy-filled life. We just have to find the path to get there.
Interesting. Well, that was the intelligent answer of the day, everyone. That was great. Thank you for sharing that. I think there's a lot of things people can take away from that. And I think a lot of people, like you mentioned, can go join your laughter yoga and all that. I think that's cool. So kind of as we wrap up here, what is the best way people can kind of find your laugh, like join your laugh class? And if they want to get into the worms and all of that. What's the best way they can kind of connect with you, reach out to you, learn more about you? What's the best way they can do that?
So my laughter page is kathysclub.com, Kathy with a C and then an S. And the worms is kathyscomposters.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Sweet. So for those of you, if you liked what Kathy has been saying today, I would challenge you guys to reach out to her. I'm sure she would love to have you guys. So, Kathy, I hate to wrap this up, but thank you for coming on today. I enjoyed having you and learning more from you, and I'm sure the audience did as well.
Thank you for your insights, Josh.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to contribute in a way that, if there is any sometimes, but I learned a ton from you, so thank you. So everyone, as you can tell, that is Kathy Nesbitt. As you can tell, she's a very intelligent person, has great things to say. I challenge you guys, if you liked anything you heard today, to reach out to her. She dropped her info there. You can reach out to her there. Stay tuned until next week. We have a great guest lined up for you guys. See you guys next week, and let's get after it. Hey everyone, if you liked this episode and would like to hear more, be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button. We release a new episode every Wednesday for you guys to listen to. Thank you guys so much for the support that you give. We could not have done this without you guys. If you would like to be a potential guest on the show, check out intelligentconvos.com and fill out the form there. Thank you guys again, and let's get after it.